You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, we catch up with one of the most athletically gifted and psychologically prepared prospects ahead of the 2020 NBA draft, Cassius Stanley. After one season at Duke and a product of Southern California, Cassius is primed to make a splash at the pro level. While his 46-inch vertical catches your eye, and it sure does catch your eye, it's his poise and his professionalism that will make him a difference maker in the league. Add in that year of polish under Coach K's tutelage, as much as Gil doesn't want to admit it, he got better and got what he needed there at Duke, and he is set to have a huge payoff with his future team. For Gil, Cassius's background is literally close to home. He watched him progress at Sierra Canyon and in runs against pros. As Gil recognized, it was just a matter of time before Cassius put it all together from the nuances of the game, along with that elite athleticism. And by the looks of it, that time is now. It's the No Chill Podcast. Remember to subscribe so you get every episode as soon as they drop. Don't forget to check out the No Chill channel on YouTube. And don't forget, No Chill with Gilbert Arenas every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Fubo Sports Network. It's No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. I'm Mike Botticello. Right over there is Gilbert Arenas. No jersey today.
Nah.
I think there's a reason for that, but we'll get into that for a second. Because we have Cassius Stanley right here.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Glad to have you here. Gil usually wears a jersey, right? And there's always a connection, I think, to the who's ever on. And to have you, it would have to be a Duke connection, and he just can't do it.
I refuse the blue.
But I think that's we did it. Blue. I don't think we've had a Dukie on here before, have we?
No.
Yeah?
I don't consider him a Dukie because it was just like a couple months and then,
whew. No, I'm a Dukie.
I see. Yeah.
I'm a Dukie. I'm a Dukie. I was there for 10 months.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I said it's with you for life.
For life. The brotherhood.
Brotherhood. That's like
it's just it's the brotherhood, man.
But you know, I mean, you gotta accept it. And Duke's doing their thing now. They've turned the corner. Duke you remember.
Yeah, I know.
Let's just say that.
I know. They finally got it right.
We're cool now. Everyone loves us. After Zion, it was like, we got the streets. We got everyone now. Everyone loves us. Everyone watches us.
The streets are it.
That's what I said. You guys used to be the most hated. And I loved that part about it. Now people are like,
still
Team
pretty
Duke.
Hated.
Everyone hates us because they think we, you know, they're just mad we win.
Yeah, so for you, Cassius, let's get back to it. This is a connection. This is an ongoing bond that's been around for years. How long has it been, actually? When did you guys first connect?
I don't know.
I think he posted on Instagram.
Yeah, but it's just like, when you play basketball in the Valley and in LA, you just always see Gilbert Arenas. It's like wherever you go. And like me growing up, like Gilbert Arenas is that guy. Like there are going to be kids now growing up and they're like, oh, Eurostep, James Harden. No. It was Hibachi. It was shooting, turn around, like everything, all that. So he was my James Harden.
I was going to say, I think I saw a tweet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know about this?
Yeah, that was a tweet.
Yeah, no, I tell people all the time, like, man, Gilbert Arenas was James Harden before James Harden. Like, he was that guy who just gets a bucket, a prolific scorer. Like, that's my generation. I don't know if everyone else says that. That's me. So, like, when I would see 10th grade, 9th grade, like, Gilbert Arenas coming to Sierra Canyon Gym, I'm like, that's Gilbert Arenas. Like, it's a bucket. Like, Hibachi. Like, this is that guy. So, I mean, every time you know, when you're in the Valley and, you know, you're in LA, you see Gilbert Arenas, it's like, he's that guy. I mean, I think he's the most popular player from the Valley.
I told you, Nick. Yes. No one knows you, Nick Young. I told Nick that. He thought I was playing.
No.
Yes.
No.
It's, always got to get the last word on
Nick. Over. That's just, I always talk about it, like, list-wise. It's Gilbert Arenas, Jrue Holiday.
Soon to be Cassius.
How's that? I mean, I guess you could say Nick Young.
Because you got to do that. You got to pass the torch.
You know what's so funny? It's like I was making an argument about New York basketball pros. And
I had this yesterday.
And I'm sitting here like, wait a minute.
I had it yesterday.
I said, the mecca of basketball is being overran by the Valley. I think we have more pros.
We have more pros than that.
We have more pros
city.
In the last 20 years than New York.
Cassius, I'm from the East Coast, so I'm going to slide over on this one. But let's just, I'm going to just say this because I know I'm the minority on this. It's cycles. It happens in cycles. This West Coast is having their moment right now.
I just don't count out the East Coast. I just feel like New York just loves to say they're the mecca of everything. And
we're the mecca of rap. Like, wait, what?
I mean, the mecca of what? Like, we were playing at Madison Square Garden last year. Like, this is the mecca.
Yeah.
The real soul of New York basketball is playground basketball, not Madison Square Garden. That just evolved.
No, we get it. Okay, listen. Yeah, all the hoopers then, back in the 60s, 78, they came from New York.
Ron Artest, Lamar Odom.
That was the same group. Yep. After that, it was basic Kimba and
Kyle Anderson.
Who?
Kyle UCLA? Anderson. Yeah.
There's a reason he came to the West.
Yeah, I would just say, there's other guys, because I even think Kyrie. Jersey.
Okay.
Because what happened?
It was Kimba and Stevenson.
So think about LA. All the guys that were in LA, like the Crenshaw, Westchester, Fairfax, those schools, now everybody's in the Valley. So it's kind of like that. Everybody was in New York City, and then now they're...
Don't try to water down the Valley and say, all the LA kids come here. No.
They do.
Valley. There's Valley born and raised. We're here. Here.
Who's your...
Dinwiddie. Woolen Hills. Right here.
Yeah, Dinwiddie's a good
the holidays here. But was it Farmar?
Farmar here, NBA champion.
But for you, okay. So past 3 years, there's been a lot of activity, right? So Sierra Canyon to Duke to where you are now. What has the focus been as it shifted from program?
Oh, to get better. I mean, to win, to get better. But
I'm just going to the best place to get into this level I'm going to be at. Ultimately, the goal is to get to the NBA and then to have a long, successful career. So I was going places that I know would set me up to be in that best position.
Because I would even say Harvard, Westlake to Sierra Canyon to Duke, there's no guesswork there when you're going to these places, and that's the difference. You said winning.
I mean, I think I'm a guy who doesn't really go anywhere. That's not proper, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm going somewhere, it's not going to be any BS. It's going to be... I know what I'm going to get. I'm not going to go in somewhere with questions. Like, was this team going to be good? Is this team going to be bad? How are we going to practice this way? Am I going to be pushed? I'm going to go places I know I'm going to be pushed. I'm going to be challenged. The Duke was the riskiest out of all of them. I mean, Coach K is Coach K. He doesn't need you. Mm-hmm. You go there. He does not need you. He's won 5 national championships, 3 gold medals, 1,000-plus games. You go there. He does not need you. You're a statistic. So you're going somewhere where a place that someone doesn't need you. That's a totally different thing.
Yeah, you keep agreeing with that.
I agree with that.
For different reasons.
But no, I agree with everything he said.
So he said he didn't, you're saying he didn't need you. He didn't need Zion. I mean, he'll take him.
He didn't need Zion.
He didn't need me.
He didn't need anybody.
I mean, you know, like anything, I know what he's saying. Like, the program, his program has been around.
Yeah, proved yourself.
He's been a winner since then. So he's saying, you know, as him trying to go to the next level, the risk of going to Duke was the riskiest move because he don't need me. You know, it's not like, you know, I can go to this school where they need my talent and they're going to give me the ball and let me shine. I'm going to a place where I'm going to be pushed to the next level. You know, I'm going to be, they're going to put discipline into me going for that next level. So this is where I'm going to put myself to get ready for the next level. Yeah, I can go there and average 45 and... But that's not going to help me to the next level.
That's what I was getting at, because you could say UConn fell off. They had every dude for a long time, great program. Calhoun leaves, but you could go to a UConn. There's that history, but it's more of a longer road. You just want the direct route, fast lane.
No.
I'm asking him, not asking you.
But he already said it.
No, I wouldn't say I picked the fastest. I mean, that was... I picked the decision that was best for me. I didn't go there thinking I was going to be there for 8 months. I mean, in the beginning of the year, I got there and me and Vernon Carey were on the blue team. That's the second team. That's, you know, that's the, they put us on the end. They put, and that looked like we were just four-year players. So it wasn't, I didn't go there just to, you know, get in there 8 months, 10 months. It happened. But I went there just because I knew UCLA, Kansas is another place where they win. He doesn't necessarily need you, but not like Duke. And then Oregon is, it's Nike. I mean, that's about it, really. I've been to, I went to Oregon, I visited. It was cool, it was a nice place, but it's only Nike. So that was the place where it was, it's not for sure I'm going to go there and be a star. I'm not going to for sure play, but I know I'm going to go there and I'm going to get a fair shot. And then after that, it's all about hard work, talent, and that's about it, really. It's that was a place where it was no politics, none at all. You go there, either you're good or you're not. Mm-hmm. And that's all I needed.
How'd you get to that point that you knew, though, I got what I needed?
Out of the school?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it was just more about not necessarily I got what I needed, more just I have to make a decision for myself. And it was about... I'm ready to move on. My main goal is the NBA. I feel like this past year I learned, my main goal was to learn. And I feel like I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself and the game and off the court. That was my main goal. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, I don't care. I want to learn. I learned a lot. That was what it was. So I guess to answer your question, I feel like I learned a lot.
What do you think about this? You got to push.
I knew. Last year before he went to Duke, couple months.
You know, go his there, approach is aggressive.
Yeah, go though, there, right? Get what you need and get the hell out and go to where your talent is. It is. And that was my thing when I first seen him. Like, when they showed a video, me and his father's in the back and I'm talking to his father like, yeah, that, you know, KCP is a actual good defender. Like, he's on the court as a defender. And the fact that you're getting your shot off anytime you want. He's not there. The only thing is, when he did stop you, it was only because of the tricks you didn't know. You know, but, you know, if you had played a few months with DeRozan, understand when I do my step back, pump fake, he jumps, I can go in and, you know, shoot the little running floater. Because you didn't know those little tricks, those are the stops he's getting. And I'm like, well, yeah, 6 more months from now, he's going to have a hard time guarding him for real, for real. You know, and that's what I was like, yo, just, I don't know how long you're trying to stay in college, but whatever happens this year, enter the draft and then go from there.
Because what you saw that you wouldn't want to wait too long on that. At some point, that's a bad move.
Yeah, it's just like anything. You know, if your engine is a Bugatti, which his is, you know, him and Zach LaVine as shooting guards is the freaks of, you know, that position. So there's no point of staying in the training camp mode. Go throw your engine, learn the tricks as fast as you can so your talent can start shining. The longer you sit in that kiddie pool, which that is college, you know, you got a few standout players, you know, how many lotteries did you actually play against? One?
Three.
In your position now.
Zero, one.
And that's that thing about college. College is great, but when you're a freak of nature, the rest of the pool is not really, you're not gonna really learn anything from them. You know, it's more of that team structure type. So that's why I was like, it don't matter what you do here, because this is not where your talent is the next level. Your engine is made for the next level. So once you get there, adapt, learn, and then turn it on.
And I think that's exactly what it is about Duke. And we that's the thing. Let's settle all this Mythbusters right here, right?
Mythbusters,
now, right?
Mythbusters, yeah, yeah.
Because it's what Duke actually does for you. Because you said it's you wanted to be pushed. That's mm-hmm. one of the best things about it. So fill him in. What is the Duke style of preparation and coaching? What's the difference?
I mean, the difference I think is that there's just so much preparation. I think you get so much knowledge about the game because he's seen so much. He's coached everyone. I mean, there's not a single player who he hasn't touched that, a great player that he hasn't touched. So I think he's seen so many players that he can help you any way you want. With me, he can help me any way he wants. He's had athletic people. He's had athletic guards. If it's at Duke, if it's at the USA level. So he would tell me, you know, Dwayne Wade would do this. Mm-hmm. I don't like the way you did that. On defense, when I had Dwayne Wade, he would do this. You should do that. So I think it was just, he's seen so many players. I think there's some coaches that who haven't, they've only been at X university and they've mm-hmm. only seen X amount of players. And so I think he's seen so many players. You got to remember, he was assistant coach in 92, Dream Team. So he's had so many run-ins with these great players. So I think that's what it is.
It's kind of hard, like, you know, it's just for me, it's just kind of hard to accept it.
He's like dying inside when you're sitting.
Because you got to remember, I'm stuck in 2001 from the time we played to the end. I don't see Duke in Coach K's resume before or after. 2001 is all I know of him and all I'm willing to accept.
Didn't they win? They won in 2000 something, right?
2001. They beat us in the championship.
Arizona. Oh, she just threw that out.
It was a bad beat. They should have been fouled. They paid the refs. Trust me. We were more talented than them by far.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah, we were.
I believe that.
Duke players, though, how about this? Is you are so prepared. You're that kid in class that did all the studying.
Exactly. You have the answers to the test. Yeah. I'll be honest with that one. You have the answers to the test. I feel like I'm ready to go. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that I know how to get better. I know how to watch film. I know how to study film. I know how to prepare for a game. I know how to prepare for an opponent. Know how to pick up tendencies. There are just so many things I learned in 10 months.
So that's what they're teaching there, huh?
They're teaching a lot. Teaching a lot.
Because your mentality, I get it. It's gym rat, pure hooper. You're not really used to all that structure.
What, in college?
Before you got to college, you got to put that into a kid.
You got to remember, college is different for me because I was already structured and did that myself. So mm-hmm. I didn't really have to dive in to see what Lute Olson was doing, but I'm pretty sure he was doing all the same things. But I already had my own film and breakdown, and I already watched film and already did this. So, you know, I didn't really need the structure part. I was in the gym more than the staff, you know? So, you know, like listening to it, I'm like, man, y'all doing all that in college? I didn't realize y'all was film preparing and all that because they don't do it in the NBA like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that.
You know, there's so many games being played, so there's really no breakdown. So, you know, you're learning on the fly. And that's probably the advantage of being in a program that, you know, a coach is sitting there watching all these talented, you know, because I'm forgetting that he, you know, because of USA basketball, he's getting all the elite and understanding, you know. I'm still thinking just Duke, you know, but I'm not real. But I got to remember he's having all of the top watching their, you know, mannerisms, watching how they work out, watching what they do. And he can take it and put it back in his program.
That's exactly what it is.
Spot you feel better on. Now?
No.
Are we good?
No. I mean, as Coach K's progressing, I like him. 2001. Sorry. I'm never gonna get over it.
That's a long time ago.
I know. Just let us deal. Let us Arizona's deal with that, okay? We still talk about it.
We did beat that. You know, because it's like the banners. They have the banners in the practice gym.
See how they throw it?
I always see the Arizona logo.
And he said we beat them. No, he's talking we 19 years
see, that's
ago.
That's why you can never let it go because you see how he talks.
Nah, that logo is in our. That's in the gym. That's right there at the bottom.
Duhon had to hear from Duhon when I was in Orlando. Dunleavy had to hear from Dunleavy, JJ Redick. You know, it's just the jab. They just keep jabbing.
And Cash is for you. You're the Valley kid. Like that's
they just know how to. It's just Duke knows how to jab.
But is it worse that he went to Duke than UCLA?
No, I don't. I mean, I wasn't. I didn't get drafted. I mean, I didn't get a letter from UCLA. So,
and we found out actually they tried. Coach Howie, let him after the fact. He never told them, but they tried. But he was already into his own.
Yeah, I didn't get a letter.
All right, so let's fast forward. Let's fast forward to here we are now. 2020. Good news for you was what you accomplished there with Duke, and then obviously everything that's happened. You know, it's been just been different.
Yeah.
What is the draft preparation been like?
It's been good, actually. I like it. I like it because, I mean, you get, what is it, 7 months? I had 7.5 months to be in the gym without having to, usually you get about 2.5, and it's like, all right, I got to go to Vegas somewhere. Like, then I got to come back. I can get maybe a week of training, and then I got to go to my city. Then I got to, done, 2 months, 7.5 months. I'm very confident in myself. I mean, if I'm in the gym three times a day for 7.5 months, I'm very confident in myself. That's all I'm saying.
When it started, because we had Onyeka on, that was May. Mm-hmm. So think about then, it was kind of like, we're ready, but we don't really know what's going to happen.
I from the beginning, like, the games, we played in UNC, we beat them. March 10th, and then our season got cut short, like, March 15th. Like, March 20th, I was begging my parents, all right, I'm trying to get back home, because we were in North Carolina. I'm like, trying to get home, I'm trying to get in the gym. I don't care if this season doesn't start for 9 months. I want to be in the gym because you can't overprepare. Like, for me, I know mentally this is a big challenge, the NBA. Like, you're not going to go in here and just completely dominate. So if I can get 8 months to be in the gym, I'm going to be in the gym every day. Like, why not?
Yeah, and that's, you know, because I know you've been in the gym and you've been working your ass off, I don't like the process now. Like the process now is, you know, Zoom interviews and, you know, we come watch you by yourself. And like, no. Like, I need, who's the number 1, 2, 3? Go. Like that's what I follow them. Go wherever they are. I wanna book the same workout with them so I can show you the difference now. Like you gotta remember, everyone's going off of the March 10th. Like, no, I'm a different player now. And that's what no one gets to see right now. It's like, ugh.
What did the workouts feel like?
Have you had any?
Yeah, I had one with the Clippers. It's just, it's nothing. I mean, you can't go to their facility, they come to you. So it's a pro day. That's what the workouts are. The workouts are pro day. It's basically they come and see you with your trainer while you work out. So some people are doing one thing and other people are doing another thing. I know my workout had to be one of the best ones of all pro days because I'm grinding, I'm working like I'm in the heat of the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know people are jogging and slow walking. And I'm going no breaks, hour and a half workout. Like, you go see me work out, you're like, he's got it. Like, so I know my pro day, workout, whatever it is, mine are top tier.
I remember when I was doing one and it was funny to me, but I mean, it was funny, but I was dead serious. So we're doing all the measurements and all that, right? And then they were like, all right, you know, we need to time you on, you know, it's like run up the lane, go across and come down.
Little, I did that one, yeah.
And they were like, you know, as a guard, you're not doing. I was like, what is the purpose of this again? Like, why am I gonna go up there, slide across, and back down? What movement is this? Like, what is this one-legged jump? Where's the one-on-one at? Who they can't guard me in here? Where's the one-on-one? I can get buckets. All this extra stuff that I'm never gonna do in the game. Look, I'm dancing. All everyone's sitting there laughing. I'm like, yo, I'm dead serious. Like, you want me to run up the lane, go and back? I'm not a football player. What is this? It's not basketball movements. Like, you know, and some of their drills, I just be sitting there like, who is this for? Throw the ball up. I want to see who the player is. I don't care about none of that. Let me see who the player is and let the player shine.
That's why you weren't a Duke player. Because they go through all that. It's part of the process.
And that's why they couldn't guard me.
You just wanted to get right down to it.
Give me the buckets. I want the buckets.
The idea of all that preparation is part of this. Even if it is weird or awkward or different, it's interviews, the Zoom stuff, it's not really personal.
Yeah, I mean,
but you got to do it.
Yeah, the Zooms.
I'm not a big fan of those. You can ask anyone around me.
I don't think anybody was.
And I used to tell general managers, I said, you know, I don't know what you guys look for in players with these interviews, taking them out to dinners, you know, throwing little things. Like, yo, if you want to know what a real player is, put him in a game. Put him in and watch his mannerisms there. Because a hooper's a hooper. All the other stuff outside, if he's a hooper, he don't really care about none of that. Like, you know, it's like if he's in the gym 2-3 times a day in high school, in college, it's gonna continue in the NBA. He's never, that habit is not gonna get changed. So, you know, like, what are you looking at? You know, there's a difference. There's a difference of, you know, you can spot what players are gonna be, what you need to put your money in, what is a risk. You can see it just by their work ethic. Like, let me see how he works, when he trains, what does he do, what's his favorite habit. You don't have to ask dumb, silly questions to find that out.
The dumb questions are the weird part. I do think, even like this, you gotta be in person just to get a sense of somebody's personality, what makes them tick, their point of view, their opinions. That's actually, I think for you, that's probably beneficial.
For the first part, like if I'm drafting you, right? From age 18 to 23, you're gonna do dumb stuff. That's what that age do. That's the age group that does that dumb stuff. Like, when I signed you to the big money, yeah, hey, have you found a girlfriend? It's like, then that goes further. But like when people say, oh yeah, you know, he did this when he was in, like, who cares? That has nothing to do with what he's supposed to be in the future.
What part of it did you feel that this was the best part? This was the most, this will have the best reward for me.
Of the process? Mm-hmm. Probably the workouts. I have no problem talking to someone in person. But on the computer, I got to sit there, can't move real much. If I look around, they're going to be like, oh, why is he looking around so much?
Like, yeah, that's what I said. It just seems like it's just a weird,
it's weird
process, because it's not like they make it easier. It's not like they make it fun. They're not realizing, yo, this age group, they're nervous. What do you expect? Like, you sitting there, oh, be serious, and we're just sitting there just right. Like, no, like, stop.
Well, we said in the past that Cali kids have the swag. So in the interview, the personality is going to come through, that confidence.
But this
can
is
project.
Their nah, it's different. You got to remember.
But
this
you
is,
would think you should shine in an interview if it was in person.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I'm shining in an interview. Yeah.
But in person.
Not
yeah.
in person. But it's also a job interview where they're going to pay you millions.
Yeah. It's a job interview.
If you, obviously, they're going to ask you some personality questions, like, who would you take to dinner if you had.
They asked you that?
Yeah. Almost like half the teams asked me that.
Like, what famous person could
they
you
asked,
take to
they
dinner?
They said like three. I guess basically they're saying like, who would you, like, are you just going to give us a basic answer? Like my mom, my dad, and my coach. Like, it's, I see what they're saying, but.
Like, they asked me, the I remember the question was, would you rather have the game-winning shot or the game-winning assist, right? So I'm sitting here like, for sure I'm shooting that shit. I'm not gonna pass it. But this is probably one of them trick questions, so let me think about it. And I said, you know what? Because I like to pass and shoot, hold on.
And gamesmanship.
I said, ooh, game-winning rebound.
I
said, game-winning rebound, because, you know, it's one man against nine, and whoever pushes out the most effort, secures that winning rebound. And he was like, okay, never heard that one before. I was like, oh, he fell for it.
That's the one.
Because I want to shoot.
Because I don't know if that's a good answer or not.
That's the answer. That's the one, because you start to overthink it. You start to think that that's the answer that they are looking for. So they'll say, are you a Mavericks fan? You're with the Mavericks. Would. Do you want me to be a Mavericks fan? I'm from LA. I don't have a team. And it's like,
you just
say something, and then you'll end up saying stuff like that's just completely wrong. Like, sometimes you'll be so tight, they'll ask you, like, where are you from? Where are you staying in LA? And you'll be like, well, if I say Encino, will they know Encino? Studio City.
Yes, just say anything.
It just
that was my whole, I thought that stopped already. That was my whole thing. Like, you're giving questions that has nothing to do with talent, personality, because they're frightened. So they're just saying whatever they think you want to hear at that moment is not the truth. Would you rather cook or build? It's a woman. Cook. I'd rather cook. Like, no, you wouldn't. You don't know how to cook. My mom cooks for me, I just don't want to say build, and she thinks like, you start saying stupid stuff, trying to outsmart these questions but that's what I'm saying. It's, what is the point of it? Like, what are you getting out of a 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kid coming into the NBA with questions like that?
I think 80% or 90% of it is the who are you taking out to dinner? Like, I think it's the, tell us if you ever got kicked out of practice. Because we have on our notes that you've got kicked out of practice 5 times. Sit here and lie to me. I think that's the thing. Are you going to be honest in the interview? Because they have all the answers. So it'll be like, you know, do you like to play hard? Will you die for a loose ball? Knowing that they have game film, 3 plays right here where you didn't die for it. What are you going to say? Yeah, I love to dive. Whoa, we have right here. What about this play?
Well, I love to dive now for $3 million a year. That's what I said. It's confusing.
All right, let's take a break because we have to tell you about our new friends at Literati. These days, it seems like our lives are filled with stories that are disheartening. Now more than ever, we need stories that motivate us, inspire us. Stories from unique perspectives that lift us up and dare us to connect with diverse people who think differently. That's why we all need Literati. Literati is a subscription book club that sends a beautiful book to your door each month, handpicked by world-renowned authors and leaders. Literati has book clubs curated by fascinating luminaries like Stephen Curry, Malala, Richard Branson, and Susan Orlean. With over 1 million new books released every year, finding impactful stories can be daunting. Literati takes care of that. Every month, you'll get one paperback or hardcover book that's specific to your luminaries club, like Malala's Club, Fearless, or Steph Curry's Club, Underrated. These are life-changing books personally picked by awe-inspiring people. There's a personal foreword from your luminary in each month's book. You'll also be able to use the Literati app to discuss what you read with your luminary, yes, really, and other readers. The Literati app also gives you exclusive access to discussions led by book club luminaries like Malala, Steph, Richard Branson, and Susan Orlean, and others. You won't get that insight or access like this anywhere else. Also, gift subscriptions are available for 1, 3, 6, or 12 months of books. It's a great way to keep the holiday magic going throughout 2021. Whether you're gifting a friend, a family member, or yourself, get the books that the world's most fascinating minds are reading every month, and you can cancel anytime. So go to literati.com/nochill to get $50 off your annual membership to find your perfect book club and sign up today. Remember, no one else has the book clubs like these. Only at literati.com/nochill can you get one book every month curated by today's leading authors and visionaries. That's literati.com/nochill to save $50 off your membership and make your holidays unforgettable this year. literati.com/nochill. All right, we also have to let you know about NuCom. You can't talk about performance without addressing recovery. And that includes after your workout, after your run, and preparation for the next one. That's so important. And the thing that I've added to my routine and it's helped make a noticeable difference is NuCom. You know, right now, our minds are so restless and there's so many things going on. You just need to slow down. You see the game better, you see the floor better, where you can slow it down. That's so true. And the way to do it is how NuCom approaches it. Used after a workout, NuCom quickly takes you out of your catabolic breakdown mode and shifts you into a healthy buildup mode so you can heal and recover as quickly as possible. NuCom is the only system of its kind clinically proven in over 1 million sessions to improve your sleep, reduce your stress, and boost your recovery without drugs and side effects. NuCom's system uses cutting-edge neuroscience and consists of three non-invasive and non-pharmaceutical items, all of which are included in your monthly subscription that costs less than a daily cup of coffee. The whole process is easy to use and to work into your daily routine to achieve better sleep, reduction in stress, and boost in recovery. So check them out. I did, and it works. Own the day with NuCom. And we have a special link set up specifically for fans of the No Chill podcast. Go to nochillnucom.com and get 50% off your 30-day subscription of NuCom and their money-back guarantee. That's No Chill, NuCalm.com. No Chill, NuCalm.com. NoChillNuCom.com to get started. And we also have to talk once again about our friends at Sunsoil. They like us, we like them, and we know you're going to love them too. These days, it seems like people are putting CBD in everything. There's a lot of noise, but there's one company from Vermont that's worth the hype. Sunsoil. They sent us our shipment, and I got into the CBD oil, the liquid soft gels, and I made them part of my daily routine. Replace my multi, and I take it in the morning. And right now, you notice that clarity that you need. You notice that you need to feel better. You feel stimulated and invigorated because we're at home so much. And I gotta say, Sunsoil made a difference. Sunsoil makes CBD oil that is USDA certified organic. CBD is made from hemp plants, so how the hemp is grown really matters. Sunsoil farms their hemp in Vermont, and they never use pesticides, herbicides, or GMOs. I try to be mindful about what I'm putting in my body, and that's why I love Sunsoil, because it's made from simple ingredients that I can pronounce. Many of their products contain coconut oil and hemp. That's it. And the most important part is the process. Because Sunsoil farms their hemp and makes their CBD oil in-house, their prices are less than half the price of other brands. So you get organic CBD at an unbeatable price. Sunsoil clearly labels the amount of CBD that's in each serving. They also test every batch of product at three independent labs and publish the results on their website. Sunsoil donates a percentage of their sales via 1% for the planet to environmental and community causes. So it's a company that knows what you're doing and they can really get behind their products. Sunsoil makes CBD oil with simple organic ingredients. Now you can get 30% off your first order by going to sunsoil.com/nochill. That's sunsoil.com/nochill for 30% off your first order. sunsoil.com/nochill, 30% off the first order, and you'll see the difference.
Because I think there can be a reputation on someone out in the street. So that's why you have this, like, I've heard this about you, and it's up to them to figure out if that's true.
Okay, now, I will get the test if we're talking about 25 and older. A reputation from kids, it's pointless. They're kids that will become young men, that will become men. So I can't hold value. Your stock is not gonna drop because you were speeding. I mean, obviously you can afford a fast car, I'm sure. And that's what kids do at that age. You got five tickets when you were at Duke. You're gonna go from number two to number 10. What? I'm not dumb. Your ticket's not gonna outshine what you can do on the basketball court. Man, if you don't, you don't get your ass over here, bro. I don't care.
Cash, for the record, I don't think you have speeding tickets, right?
No, we're good.
Come on. So, it's Woodland Hill kids. We're good. We're Valley kids. We're good like that. Growing up.
Right. Can't deal with the traffic.
My car doesn't even go that fast.
That's a good answer. So having all this stuff behind you, where you're at right before the draft starts, we're just about there. It's also been a crazy different year if you think about it. Your group is the season starting later. You've had all this extra time to prepare, and then you're gonna have to come in and adjust, you know, with a shorter runway.
I don't know. I feel like that might help me though.
Sure.
I was thinking about it, because I mean, a lot of times you can really come in overthinking. Like, I got to come in. I got to do all this. But if you come in there, you just go, get thrown in the fire. Thrown in the fire. You got to just go for it.
Just to take off the pressure, it's going to actually be easier for you.
That's what I felt like.
And the reason it's going to be easier is because training camps, like, it's laughable to a kid who just got out of college. So, you know, it's 2-a-days, an hour of it can only be contact. So the other hour there's no contact.
Well, sounds like college.
So if you go 2-a-days, the max they can practice you for that day is 3 hours, only an hour and a half contact. But you got to remember, these guys just got off. So coming into training camp, they're not going to actually be in the shape that they're supposed to be in. So you're going to be here peak-wise, shining. And most likely, depending on what team you get drafted to, because you've been working out here, you're going to be put into the... They're not going to have time because these guys are not going to be game ready. You know, there's going to be veterans that's just going to sit, you know, at the beginning, yeah. You know, depending on what team they are. So, I mean, this is a bad thing, but a great year, because no matter what, you're going to be the standout soon as you're there because of what you've been doing for the last 9 months.
How about the idea that as the young guy, right, you're low man on the totem pole, like any job, you got to make an impact from day one. That's really the mindset you have to have coming in. How do you do that?
You've been working for 9 months, 2-a-days, 3-a-days, all right? Like, you know where you are. What you do is you got to let them know where you are. It's just like when you went back to Sierra Canyon, you had to establish yourself. There's no college had to establish. It doesn't change. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So with them, it's less practice. So you don't really have that margin of, you know, I can catch him in, you know, a couple months. Nah, it's train it, beat him out in training camp, because once you beat him out in training camp, that dictates playing time for the season. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and then from there, it's just working, being consistent, having a consistent routine so your play is consistent. That's the most important thing in the NBA, that, you know, you're training your shots. Now you're going to have to find an NBA routine, because you play 3-4 games, you don't practice as much, you're traveling, you can get off of rhythm. And then that's where slumps come in, and people don't understand why you're in the shooting slump. Well, you know, if you're taking 500 to 1,000 shots in the summer, and for the last 2 weeks you've only been taking about 100, your shot's gonna dip compared to what it looked like in the summer.
Right.
You know, so that's where the shooting slumps come from. Because, you know, you're traveling and resting, and so you gotta find a way to, like, put a program in. You know, you have a season workout program where you're just consistent with it, and then your play just plays consistent.
Now, how about this, the situation that you end up in, where you land on off the draft board is, you know, veteran team, rebuild team, contender, but they need a piece. How do you identify with that for Cassius, making, you know, the best of the situation that you end up in?
You know, I mean, you know, if you go to obviously a rebuilding team, you know, they're forced to play you because, you know, you're the future of the team. So, you know, the veteran teams is usually the teams you don't want to get drafted to, because, you know, you don't want to end up like a Darko, mm-hmm. where he never got to actually, you know, game test his talent. You know, you're sitting behind Wallace boys. You know what I mean? And, you know, they're not like 2 years and they're out of the league. They still got 8-9 more years. So, right. You know, you get stuck behind, you know, players like that, where they hold your talent, but, you know, you still have to be, you know, mindful of understanding their tricks and, you know, when your time has come to challenge their game with mm-hmm. your game. You know, when I came in, same thing, you know, I wasn't ready. You know, I was trying to get back into college somehow. And then I was trying, like, yeah, I can give the money back. I'll come on back for one more year. You know, but, you know, I started studying, started watching habits. And then, you know, once I felt I was ready, challenging in practice, didn't work, back to the drawing board. Trying in practice, didn't work. And then, and to the point where I'm like, he's not adapting. He's not getting better because he's still beating me. I'm getting better. So when it was time for me to really make that stand, it was I go for the position. You know, and I'm standing on the court. Now I'm playing 30 something minutes doing my thing. So when you get there, you have to do what you do best. You know, I know, you know, we try to fit in, but you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're drafting you for a reason, and you got to always remember that. They're drafting me for a reason. So you go out there and do what you do best.
And I think it's important, you know, you have a ton of upside to your game, and I think any smart coach would recognize that. There's more things you're gonna evolve as a player, more things that you'll adapt with. It's the team that you're on, there's always gonna be an opportunity for you, wherever that is.
Yeah, I mean, I got you shining this year. You know what I mean? Anytime I talk to a GM, I got your sleeper, all that college stuff, don't even worry about that. Here's your sleeper. Boop. Because I know what your game is and what's gonna happen when you get on that court. They're not gonna be able to guard you. Like, you're too far advanced on just all attributes. You know, and it's not like, oh, you're Zion and you dunk. Nope, you can shoot, you can pass, you can dribble, you can move. Like, you just gotta get it in the NBA and then adapt to it.
I'm gonna also throw defense in there. It's a big part of it.
Yeah, you know, I don't. You know, that's not one of my. That's just not one of the words that come out of my mouth.
Well, that's what you said for knowing Gil's background. You know, I think that's great advice. What have been these things that you guys been going back and forth on?
I mean, like, we were talking a week and a half ago, and it's just like what he said. It's just like, you know, they're drafting you for a reason, so you don't have to fit in. Go in there and go and play your game. Don't worry about, you know, fitting in on the court, fitting in with the pieces on the court. If you do what you got to do and you go in there and play the way you play, things will adjust to you. So that's one of the biggest things.
For you, I think there's some pedigree that transfers as well. So you can take things that you've known that you're off the court. I'm prepared for these things because of where I just was in school. We all know what happens at that school. So that's a big, you know, a big factor. It's not just all the physical side of it.
Off the court?
Yeah.
Okay.
Professional mindset.
Okay, let me just break something down to you. College off the court is different than NBA off the court.
I've heard that.
NBA off the court, it's a boring life. It's kids mixed in with adults. And fathers and married men. So it's not like you get to really go out and hang out as a group if you go to a wrong team. You know, so you might be the only young player on your team. So there's no off the court. It's you in your house bored all day playing video games or in the gym. You know, those are the two. And that's why if you think about what I'm saying, the reason that you don't see 98% of the NBA players out anywhere in a world that's all social media, where you can just turn on your phone and show you, and you still do not know 99% of the NBA personalities. You know what I mean? Because they don't have, the world is different. The world is different. You know, we're practicing, we're done at noon. Well, everyone's at work. Everyone's at work. By the time everyone got off, we're back in the gym doing something. We're at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So our worlds is over, you know, missing each other in a sense. You know, so it's one of those things where I said you're gonna have to get your in-game routine, you know, because that's where you catch players.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who, yeah, we all gotta remember, we're all working in the summer. So we're all like, if we ended the summer and we're all sitting here, where you gain ground is in the season. You know, getting your shot, getting more shots up, doing that, working on moves during the season is where you catch ground on someone.
And what I'm getting at too with that is, I'm just saying where you came from. Here on the West Coast in LA, you're exposed to high-level talent at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
Sierra was a high-profile program, so your teammates are elite athletes. You're going up against elite athletes with a lot of attention on you. You go to a high-profile program at Duke. So all these things mm-hmm. really factor in to where you're coming. So it's like, I'm mature is what I'm getting. I mean, but that is for a team, I would want to invest in that, invest in maturity.
Yeah, that's what I said. Any team that gets him is gonna fall in love with him. I mean, you know, you have a one, you have a West Coast kid, so that means he's well-rounded in that sport. Sierra Canyon, Duke. So you know he's educated, smart. And then he's a workaholic. You know, that's what I'm, that, you know, when I look at some, what am I paying for? You know, okay, if you're not good now, are you working to be good? If that answer is yes, well, here's the check. Here you go. I have no problem. Look, I know if I give you this money, you're not gonna just flop on me. You're not gonna be a lemon. You're gonna keep trying to get better, to improve your game, to be the best you can be. I can write that check. Anybody can write that check. You don't want that? I sign you a contract because you played well this year, and in 4 or 5 years, you just flop it, and then right before your contract, you ball again to force me to write another check? Like, no.
But how do you feel, and this might sound like one of those draft questions, but in this long time that you've had, you can maybe reflect on it, but these several years that you've been through this road, how do you feel has prepared you for the next level?
That's a straight up draft question. Like,
I don't mean it like that. I mean, like, you've downtime to reflect on it.
No, yeah, I understand. I'm just letting you know. That's like, that's a direct
rip. I know it is, yeah.
I mean, like you said, I've been around a lot of things. My dad's a sports agent, been for 30 years. So, I mean, I've seen all kinds of players. And I think that's the thing that helps me the most is to know, yes, we have basketball. Yes, I love basketball. But when I was 5, I would see one of his players who's a rookie. Then I'm 13, and this dude's not a rookie anymore. This dude's done playing. And I'm like, so I know this ends quick. So I'm going to maximize my time, but I'm also know that this is one thing. This is my first job, and I'm going to have another job, hopefully another job. So I know there's a bigger things, there's bigger pictures, there's more things, but I'm going to maximize the time that I have because I know it goes quick. I mean, when I was 5, 13, it seemed like that was 3 years, and this dude has had a full 8, 9 seasons and done. So I think that's one of the biggest things is being around my dad, being around players, seeing players who've, when I was young and now, I'm 20, and these dudes, I'm seeing their kids who are 10.
Yeah, and I'm like,
this is quick.
I mean, like this, we call Gil OG now. He's not that old, actually. You guys call
Tell
him.
Tell it to my knees.
He's still a bucket.
But you're right, you're so right. It goes by quick, it goes by fast. It's the fast lane, like we said, but enjoy it. What do you want Cassius to tap into?
I want to ask a question. Realistically, where should you be drafted? What pick?
Realistically, I should be lottery. I don't know why I wouldn't be. I mean, I went to Duke. That should give me some slots.
Accurate.
Play for Coach K. I mean, I shot 37% from 3. And I was actually a shooter. Like, it wasn't like one attempt a game, like half an attempt a game. No, I was put on the floor to spread the floor. How crazy that sounds, I know. It sounded crazy to me too. When Coach came to me and said, your job this year is to either drive the ball or to shoot the 3. We want you to space the floor. We need floor spacers. We have no one on the team who spaces the floor. Me, I know I'm a good shooter, but... Since when was I Ray Allen? Since when was I a guy in the corner who was a corner wing specialist? So I'm a shooter. It's not like I'm an undersized dude. I'm 6'6 as a shooting guard. That's perfect size. I'm a freak athlete. I mean, I played one in high school. I played combo. Like, it's not like I'm just a dude who's a 3-man. I'm a 2. I'm a combo guard. I play defense. Like, I don't understand what the thing is. I don't know.
I have your lottery.
I don't know. It is what it is.
That's what I'm saying. That's going to be the problem because if a lottery team doesn't get you, you have a lottery play, a real lottery play. Not that we don't even know who you are type of lottery, a real lottery player. And if you don't go in a lottery, someone's going to be happy they got you. That's why I want, because I have you as a lottery player.
And I think that is the coolest part of the draft, that if you go high, and I think you should, I agree, that can fuel you. Like, I'm here for a reason. I'm going to prove it. if they slept on me a bit, your story, I'm gonna prove that as well. Like, all you guys slept on me. I remember all you guys that passed up on me, and I'm coming to get you. So using the draft as fuel as a competitor really is an important thing.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, right now, because, you know, he can't go out there and go against the competition where, you know, usually, you know, players who finish their college career and then they really grind before it's time to see us, you know, the time to see you, you know, he misses that window. You know, it's like, you know, I got 9 months. I've been working my ass off. Just put me where I need to be put in front of these people, and I'm going to show you who's the better player now and for your future. You know, because you don't get that, it's kind of that's the downside of, you know, what's going through right now.
Well, I tried to ask this before you had to ask your question. That was more of like a journalist question, I thought, too.
No.
Mm-mm. The way that you said it, maybe.
No, nah, they asked me that too. They asked me that one time in the interview.
What do you think you should?
See?
But then in that situation, it's like, you know.
That's different. Oh, yeah. What pick do you have?
Yeah. But that's the lottery. Yeah.
I think my answer was like, it doesn't matter, which it all really doesn't matter. Because, like, I don't care. I could really, like, my whole thing was, will I get drafted? Because 1-60, that's cool. November 19th, the day after that, sit. And then I can walk around with a t-shirt that said, oh, I was the 25th pick. No, you're in the NBA now. You're just like this person. So, I mean, I've been working for a while for this, so it's not anything. I mean, I remember going into Duke. I was at 360, and there was one drill that Gilbert told me about. It was the layup, the mid-range,
the free throw, the three-point.
The Warrior drill. Yeah, or something like that. And then it was three-point, then mid-range. He told me about that, and then I was like, he was telling me that's what got him right. And I remember I was in the gym like the second day, and I texted him like, yo, so what is it? And he broke it down, and he was like, you try to get the highest number. And I remember like the second day I texted him, I was like, yo, this drill is crazy. I pulled the text. Like, I was like, this is nuts. Because it was like you keep doing it. It's like each day, it's like the ninth day. All right, so that means, what is it, nine times?
It was
like you got to make nine of them. So it was like nine layups, nine free throws, nine mid-range, nine threes, nine mid-range. And I was like, this is crazy. But it was because he told me about it, and I remember I was like, I know he's the guy. Like, I want to be a very successful NBA player, and I know he has there are certain people who have the keys, who are savants, who are students of the game. Coach K is a student of the game. And that's why I want to be around. I like to be around people who think the game, who actually will see you and say, this is what you should do. Not, I told Lil Johnny to do that. I'm going to tell you to do the same thing. When you're athletic, he's not athletic. He's a shooter, you're not a shooter. So he knows the game inside and out. So I knew I had to just, if it was not every day, it was just always checking with him, make sure, you know, I'm on the right track when it comes to things.
So is that what it was for him, or what it is for him to tap into? Is that blackout mode?
You can already see it. You know, from the first time we talked, I remember when I asked him why was he going to Duke, and
oh,
I need
he
I need it
because like, why are you going?
That's not
like,
a surprise.
Why are you going to Duke? Why are you going to Duke? It is like, you know, I just need the knowledge, and then I had to think about it like, that's it, okay, because you know where you're going and you're going to get to. You're just making a pit stop to gain knowledge.
But that was the reason why I made my decision. I haven't told this many people. I've told maybe five or six people. So I was at Sports Academy one time. I was working out, and Kobe was running a girls' camp after me. He came over to me, talked about my season, chopped it up. It was like, you know, what are your finalists? I told him Duke, Kansas, Oregon, UCLA. He didn't say Duke directly, but he basically said, you know, like he said, your talent is here, but it's in between is where are you going to go? Are you going to go somewhere where you can go for 30 and you don't really progress? Or are you going to go somewhere where you can really learn the game? Who's going to teach you the best out of Bill Self, Steve Alford, and Dana Altman, or Coach K? Who's going to teach you the best? Where are you going to get the most knowledge? Who's going to advance your game in the cerebral things? Who's going to teach you these little nuances who's had the most experience with teaching the people. I'm like, so are you telling me Duke or are you not telling me? And I was like, this, there it goes. And when it came down to it, it was like, look, through 1 or 4 years, I know this is where, so what am I going to do in between here? Am I going to go somewhere where I'm not really pushed, or am I going to go somewhere that's risky? That's where I'm going to get pushed. I'm going to learn. So, and I just kept thinking about that conversation. I was like, yeah, this is the best option.
Yeah, it's like, damn, when you say it like that, it's pretty lopsided argument.
That's what I said. It was the same thing. It made sense. Like, you know, I know where the product is going to finish. I just need to pick up a couple more things before I get there. And that's what I got from it. I was like, okay, he's onto the right track.
But he came at me, though.
Yeah, I came at him.
I was like, right when I finished my workout, he's like, so why Duke? I was like, what do you mean? And I broke it down to him. I was like, this and that. But then I also told him that you can't look at Duke as a Duke as a whole. You got to look at Duke year by year. So my year, Duke was out of the Blue Buds, was the best available spot. Kentucky had, like, you know, that platoon. They had, like, 13 people who were all this and that. So it was going to be one of those things where you get 4 shots and you're happy, but you were Kentucky. Or Kansas was okay, but Duke was the – Duke – and they were really didn't have a guard spot. Like they were, it was a wide opening. It was a clear shot. Other places had sophomores returning, juniors. Here was like, there you don't have anyone like me on the roster. So I was like, this is a year by year case. And I was the first one. Like when they called me, I was like, I was never really a big Duke fan. I always thought the same way you did. And this was before the, like, obviously I was watching RJ and Zion, but I'm like, yeah, it's cool and all, but it's still Duke. And I'm like, but the more they talk to me and the more I realize that there's a spot for me and it's a clear shot because there's a guy, Derek Thornton. He was at Sierra, then he went to Duke, then he went to Boston College and to USC. But he went to Duke and he was in a position where, you know, there were multiple people and he didn't get a fair shot. And there were so many people I knew who didn't get their shot. So that was my biggest thing was like, I'm not trying to go to Duke and then end up going somewhere else. Because when you leave Duke, it's hard to make it when you leave Duke. That's one of those people where, like, that place, if you don't do what you got to do and you try to leave, good luck to you. It's a tough place to make it.
And also, when you give him answers and he doesn't have anything more to say,
you know,
that's it, you rest your case.
So funny, sometimes you just ask questions just to get a response to see what the thought process is. So when I heard it, I was like, okay, that makes sense. Because because it's one of those things where it's like, because that's what my response came after. Like, no matter how long you sit there, you're entering the draft. Like, because I know where you're supposed to be finishing. He's like, well, I just need to pick up a tire, you know, a couple screws here before I get to the big race. And I need to just upgrade the little tires, you know? And that's how I perceived it. Like, okay, that was intelligent. That was an intelligent
But
decision.
I didn't know the background between the Duke. So, like, when he asked me that, I was like...
Because it was aggressive.
No, it's it was a little aggressive.
Loaded question.
Like, I was thinking about it. He went to go work out, and I was sitting there like... Like, I've had multiple run-ins with him. So, it wasn't like this was the first run-in, but I'm like... Do I
coming
really
at me like that? Like,
and I was thinking, like, why is it coming at me like that? And so, for a second, I was thinking... Let's go with him. But then I literally maybe a week later, you guys were on with somebody and he was like, I hate Duke. And this is the reason. And I was like, oh, okay. It makes total sense now.
Yeah, you just didn't know the backstory.
I didn't know. I thought it was a personal thing.
I came up to him quick, like, hey, why, what's up with the D? What's Duke?
And it was,
new Duke around here.
He basically was like that. And I think I asked him, I was like, so where would you want me to go? He was like, well, I mean, and I was like, what, Arizona? He's like, well, I mean, we do have guards. I'm like, nah.
Anywhere but Duke.
Point is, there's been a lot of questions over the years. A couple more for you today. Ask Agent Zero. Maybe you've had time to think of a few new ones. Gil?
From the younger generation that you're watching, what are some players are you liking in this new, in this younger? I'm not talking about high school. High school or maybe incoming freshman.
Like, so from the younger generation, I like it all. I'm not one of those guys that's like, oh, when I was in high school, I did this and he can't do, like, no, every generation is watching, remixing, and bringing it back. You know, like, believe it or not, till now still, only one person has done the East Bay in the actual NBA, in game. Ricky Davis.
He's the only person
who's actually done it in a game. And this is, you're talking about.
Well, he's the only person wired enough to think about that.
But your whole, this whole, all you guys going, that's, your in-game dunking mentality is like just so, like back when I played, it was, if you windmilled, you were nuts. Like now it's between the legs, 360s, like in traffic. And I'm just sitting here like the moves that kids are doing now, it's just unreal. So it's like I'm a fan of all of it, all of them, Mikey. Who else we got? We got Mikey, we got Bronny, we got Amari, Josh Christopher.
He's the next LA guy coming out.
Yeah.
He's gonna be the next one. LA. I'm telling you, we're just, mm-hmm. I don't.
We got Hardy. Wait,
Amari or?
Amari.
Yeah.
We got. I mean, he's from Chicago,
yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Josh Christopher.
Yeah.
Josh Christopher is.
Josh would be there.
Josh is the next one.
We got Hardy.
Next
one up. You know, we got all these guys.
Vegas. Detroit / Vegas. Jaden.
Yeah.
He's from Detroit?
Detroit to Vegas, yeah.
To Vegas? Yeah, well, Josh Christopher is LA, though. Josh Christopher is LA. He's. Josh Christopher. He's on here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh Christopher.
And so watching, you know, just watching all of them bring their own little. So I like them all.
I was on YouTube one day, in class, at Duke. We learned most of the time, but I was sitting there and I was watching this game, and I was like, and then there was like the suggested, and so I look in the suggested, and it was Heritage Christian versus Sierra Canyon. So I'm watching the game, right, and. I'm looking, and then, like, I turn away. I, like, pay attention for a little bit. Then I go back, and so I'm watching. I see this little kid. He's running around, hits a three, and, like, runs down. He gets the ball back again, doubles the ball back out, hits the three. I'm like, and then I look at the comments. They're like, because that was, like, the only play I saw out of, like, a 15-minute thing that was, like, just so happened to be the one that I catch. I'm like, that's kind of ballsy. Like, he got the steal, and he's going back. And so, like, I'm looking in the comments, like, man, that kid got, like, they're like, I'm looking at the number, and it was, like, 30-something, and I go, I'm like, who's in the comments? They're like, man, 32 got the confidence of his dad. So I'm like, I'm running it back. I look again, and I'm like, and I see him in the background, and he's talking to some dude, and he's, like, not phased at all. Yeah. And I'm like, this is his son? And I'm, like, looking again, and I'm like, wow. And I'm, like, seeing him, and he's so advanced, though. And I'm like, that's crazy. And I'm watching the game like, nah, he's got it.
What's the funny is, you know, it's you started off at.
I started off at.
You was at Sierra Canyon first.
I was at Sierra Canyon, yeah.
Okay, because there's been this little, it's a myth, but it's, so from middle school to high school, there's never been a player who's went through the middle school to the, and
no,
and you were the only one. Yeah, yeah.
Me, I'm gonna sit here right here and tell you, I started this Sierra Canyon thing.
Yeah.
I started it. There were guys before me. There was Cody Riley. There were guys like that. They were above me. They started in middle school too, but I put it on the map. I'm gonna sit here and say it. I'm saying it to these both cameras. Me, this new import thing that's new. Me, I started there in fifth grade. I was there in fifth grade. I was there in middle school. I had the lower campus on lock. I had the upper campus on lock.
That's so funny. That's what they said.
Me. So, yes, I was the only one to come through the middle school, come through the high school, come to the college, and we're going to keep it pushing.
Yeah.
I think we didn't even know about the lower campus.
No, because that's what it said. So, we were, you know, my son's second grade, and then right when, you know, for middle school basketball, we left because it was like, well, there's no middle school. Like, what are they doing? We don't know what they're doing. What are they practicing? You know, he leaves and half the team leaves and the Heritage was.
I started hearing about this. I heard this. I was like, it was might be my senior year. I'm just walking in the gym and I'm watching this Heritage and I'm like, they got some dudes. Like, they got this white dude who's like 6'1" with all his hair. See this other dude, Mike Price. You heard of him? Yeah. And I'm watching this team. I'm like, these eighth graders? I'm like, nah, this is crazy. Someone's telling me, like, they're the Sierra Canyon of middle school. And I was like, So I'm hearing about this rumbling, and now I'm hearing, like, Heritage is starting to breed them, but they're trying to keep them. But it's obviously it's hard to keep them. But I'm hearing that middle school, there's no Heritage is that school.
Yeah, so that's what I'm. So basically, it was like when we played Sierra in a championship, it was like old Sierra versus new Sierra.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, because I remember when Bronny and them got there, and I was like, ooh, I mean, yeah, you have a team now, but if y'all had came last year, I mean, your team would have been golden, but everyone was like, we want to play basketball, so everyone left. Mm-hmm. So that's who you guys are going to be playing against probably in the championship.
Yeah,
beat them by like 30.
Yeah, I watched that game. I was impressed. That Heritage team, the whole Heritage, I've seen it for multiple years, so it's like they're the staple middle school. Like they, I hear they're serious about it. Like they're grinding. They're in the gym.
What age was Sky there? Was he middle school, high school?
They're, you're gonna look up and there're gonna be multiple dudes who high level dudes who all went to Heritage because I'm seeing it. I'm seeing with my own eyes. I'm seeing dudes who are in seventh grade who are advanced. Like, and I'm like, wow, whatever they're doing there, they just need to find a way to keep them.
Yeah, they just, it's more like a farming. They farm them and then y'all go out and be somebody.
Yeah. Mm.
And the funny thing, you got anything else?
No.
Okay, good. Because the funny thing you said there was you were on YouTube, and when you get into YouTube, you get into that world. And your knowledge of old school basketball, your generation has that. Because YouTube is a tool for hoopers. So you can go and look up Dominique Wilkins and Isaiah Thomas and evaluate them.
I know. Stop, bro. Stop.
Well, his knowledge of Dominique was surprising.
Nobody goes on YouTube looking up Dominique and Isaiah Thomas. No one's
Have you done that?
I entered a rabbit hole.
You went there to prove a point, right?
No, I went there to find full game footage of Michael Jordan. Full game. I don't want top 10 players. I don't want best dunks. No, I want to see him up and down, catch the ball in a half court. What is he doing? How is he missing his shots? I want to see his rookie year. I want to see what shots is he coming from, not just to prove a point, but to actually see, okay, I'm 6'6", I'm 201. He's 6'6", 201. Let me see how he's playing his rookie year. Let me see him coming from North Carolina with the historic coach. Let me see how he's going in there. What shots is he taking?
That's what it is for you with Gil. I mean, you could look at players and what they did at that time, you could put it into your game. So
well, he's still doing that.
What he's doing then, he's still doing that. He's doing what he's doing in 08, 09, he's doing that in 2020.
That's all it is. You learn as you go. You build as you go.
But I can't say that about a lot of players. I know he can go in, go get a bucket against Patrick Beverly, against whoever.
Oh, yeah.
I know that.
Because they trash. Yeah, they don't.
I'm not saying all that. I'm saying he's an elite level basketball player. Can't really disagree. Like, it is what it is. Hibachi.
There it is. Hibachi. We got a Duke guy on here, finally.
Finally.
Set the record straight. I'm not a Dukey. I'm not saying that, but at least put some respect on the program, which is exactly what you did, Cassius. Thanks for coming on.
Appreciate you.
Top five.
Busting the myth, yes. That's what we get. The mood for the draft is excitement. It's exciting. You know, we're amped up to see where you go and what you do next. So there it is. For Gilbert Arenas, for Cassius Stanley, I'm Mike Botticello. Remember, you can catch No Chill every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Fubo Sports Network, and we'll see you next time.